Oh, it makes it worse. Like, infinitely worse.
Yeah, I don't know why we can't all just be on the same system. I don't really have a preference one way or the other.
One time zone for everyone.
Yeah, dude, let's just all do the same thing. That'd be fine.
One worldwide time zone, if you will.
It's a new invention. Radical idea.
Because yesterday, because it was the kickoff for Atletico and Leganés was 5 a.m.
Yeah,
and like,
it was a slightly more reasonable 8, but that still felt very early.
Yes, and considering the 90 minutes that followed, it was way too early.
Yes, exactly. It nearly, perhaps even slightly, made me go back to sleep. So.
Hey-o.
You know, that happens.
Well, we will try to stay awake long enough to do this podcast.
Yes. I think we can do that much.
Hopefully it'll be more entertaining than that game.
Yes, indeed. We can find some interesting things to talk about, I'm sure.
Now, Rob, you wrote the report for Leganés 1, Atletico 1. Give us a general summary of the words that you wrote.
Well, there are some times when you write a match report, you just kind of write down the facts about the goals and the main events and stuff, but I think kind of considering what's happened so far this season, this sort of felt like it was something kind of different, which was just, I don't know, it's just we've seen the same movie so many times at this point, it didn't feel surprising, and yet we're still disappointed by it, because this is the game absolutely Atletico should have won, but they're still kind of stuck in their old bad habits.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good place to start. Bigger picture, Atletico have scored 13 goals in 11 weeks this season. 13 goals in 11 weeks. That is unacceptable, I think might be a word for it.
Yeah, it's the attack has just been non-functioning this whole season.
Kind of unbelievable.
Yeah, and I mean the game before last was it? Last league game, at least. Those two defenders that scored. So, and considering the amount of money that's been spent on the attack just the last two seasons alone, you'd expect a bit more.
Yeah, and you also, yeah, looking back at the goals that we have seen since the last international break, against Villarreal, it was the defender who scored. Against La Real, it was two defenders who scored. In the Copa del Rey midweek, which was also a dreadful game, it was a midfielder who scored. And then on Saturday, it was finally, for the first time since October 7th, an Atletico forward decided they were going to grab a goal. And it was a spectacular goal. But
it was
a set piece. It was a set piece, too. But it was, and yet it was the only one.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's talk about the free kick goal, because it's really the only positive thing that I had to say about this game. Just magnificent from Grizzy. How far away was this? Like 30-plus yards?
Yeah, I'd say probably...
Close to 30 yards?
35, yeah, maybe 35-ish.
Just caught Cuellar completely flat-footed, just floated into the goal, just sublime. And
we know he can do that.
Yeah, he goes over, celebrates with Cholo, it's great. Griezmann, I think, I have to give him credit. I think he put it all on the line in this game. He took the captain's band for the first time this season, and he played like a captain. I really thought he did. He had 5 of Atletico's 9 shots, and 3 of their 4 shots on target. I thought he just did his best with what he had, which wasn't much. He had Atletico's 3 best chances. I think he had their 3 best chances by expected goals in this game.
I mean, he's not playing at his top form yet either, but he's certainly doing better than any of the other attackers, so can't really fault him for that, and I agree with you, I think he did kind of lay it all on the line, which, I mean, it's not his fault that a suitable partner for him hasn't been really found yet. Diego Costa isn't working out for whatever reason right now, and then we've seen problems with Correa. Kalinic isn't really integrated yet. They tried out Gelson. That was totally random and unexpected.
Yeah, let me say something about that. Simeone used to try this with Carrasco, if you remember. He used to play try Carrasco up top, and it never, ever worked. And now, for some reason, Cholo has decided he's going to try it with Gelson, and I don't know why. Gelson is not a forward. I think he said something after the game about he wanted more verticality, which, okay, great, but he's not a hold-up man. Why isn't he playing on the wing? Why is Nikola Kalinic starting? Why is Nikola Kalinic coming on for 3 minutes at the end of the game?
So many questions.
And I mean, so few answers.
Gelson is getting right onto the Yannick Carrasco superhighway. And, I mean, of course, we hold out hope that he'll be on the scoring in the Champions League final version and not the getting booted off to China in the middle of your prime version. But, you know, we shall see. It seems more like the latter at the moment.
Gelson had no shots, but he made it to the 88th minute, which... You know,
and he hasn't played all season up to this point, and they're just like, all right, after one Copa del Rey game in which we played terribly, let me chuck him right in there from the start.
It makes it even more confusing. I mean, no shots, no key passes, 39 touches. He was fouled four times, which I think Cholo will like. He also only took four touches in the box, and two of those touches were him getting caught offside.
Yeah, not offside.
Speaking of touches in the box, Angel Correa, who was substituted just after the hour because he was pretty bad, Correa took four touches in the box. Tomas Lemar, the most expensive signing in Atletico's history, one touch in the box over 70 minutes.
Yeah, it's kind of weird how Tomas Lemar started off the season looking like he fit in quite well with the side to now going like looking like he doesn't. It's a bit weird how that doesn't really make sense. Thinking about it normally, but it's kind of what's happened.
Simeone wants him playing more through the middle, but it's difficult to... We talked about this starting over the summer. It's tough to play him through the middle when you have Griezmann taking pretty much all your touches and creating, or trying to create all your chances through the middle. There's no room for both of them to coexist there in that space.
And I don't get it also from the perspective that Atletico aren't exactly blessed with a ton of wingers that fit in right now. So why you wouldn't play him out there, even if it's not his best position? I mean, he's played there quite a lot in his career. I think he'll be all right. And I think it's certainly preferable to playing Koke on the wing, or Saul even.
Yes, it definitely is. And I like Lemar. I think overall he has been good, but he needs to be much better. For the price Atletico paid for him, he's got to be much better.
Well, the thing with him, though, is I'm more confident that he will get better because we have seen him do quite well and work in this side. So he's probably of the newest acquisitions, the one I have the most confidence in.
Yeah, I would agree. Just Correa starting is just it never works out well because that's not the kind of skill set he brings. It's not as good from the off as it is from the last half hour on. He only completed 53% of his passes, under 53%, which is extremely low.
Well, the team was especially poor overall, and with their passing, it was horrendous to watch.
I mean, Rodri, who, as we know, is a pass master, only 83.6% pass accuracy.
Yeah, that shocked me. That's how I knew it was a bad day when I looked at that after the match.
Because Rodri is completing less than 90% of his passes, but very strange. No Koke in this game. He got a muscular injury midweek. No Koke, no Godin, no Diego Costa. So that created some openings. But Koke, I think, as he usually is, was the most noteworthy absence, Rob.
Yeah, I think so. I didn't really mind the midfield too much in this match. It wasn't the most egregious thing, I think, certainly. I think Rodri and Saul, I think that can work. I like that as a pairing of... kind of has natural balance to it. Sal being left-footed, Rodri being right-footed, it just kind of works out, I think. I think when Koke's not on the pitch, you really kind of miss that link-up play that can kind of go unnoticed at times. But he's very good at it, and he was certainly missed. But you'd imagine he'd be back pretty soon.
And you miss all the work that Koke does. Yeah. The Koke work. You miss every little thing he does to kind of prevent horrible things from happening to Atletico's midfield, and as you said, you do miss that extra body, that extra ball and build up. Last season, Koke missed a month around this time, and it encompassed both Carabao's losses in the Champions League. Koke is an essential part of the puzzle, and I know not everyone likes him, but Koke is an essential part of the Atletico puzzle, and when he doesn't play, Atletico usually don't play well. Another exhibit, Saturday, when Atletico were really quite poor. Through 19 minutes, Rob, you want to know the expected goals for this game? I looked it up.
Oh, it's horrendous. I know. I looked at it after the game.
Through the first 19 minutes, 0.00, 0.00 in this game.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's horrific. It was absolutely horrific.
And at full time, Leganés had 1.35 expected goals. Atletico had 0.4. And 0.96 of Leganés' expected goals came from their goal. Through Carrillo.
Yeah, exactly. So take that out of it.
Take that out of it, and they're dead.
An abysmal match.
And they're dead even at 0.4. I will say one more positive thing. I think Atletico defended really well. The Savage and Lucas pairing, I think, is a pretty good one, because Lucas has pace. Not negative pace like Savage does. You know, Lucas made 11 clearances. Savage made 5. A couple tackles, interceptions as well for Lucas. I thought Arias didn't play great, but well enough, won 5 headers. Definitely not the performance he put in against La Real, but I think it was solid. We know Juan Front's going to start Tuesday anyway, but Arias was fine. So that was also, I think, a positive step for him.
Yeah, I mean, I've read on Savage a bunch, but I agree with you. I think when he's paired with Lucas, I have no problem with that, because that can allow for Lucas to cover up for some of Savage's flaws, and Savage is a strong defender, which helps out Lucas at times. So, yeah, I think the defensive pairing was fine. I just think the selection of Gelson was weird, and again, the substitutions were pretty ineffective.
Yeah, the subs, I still don't get why you only use Callens for 3 minutes. I mean, Vitolo got a good 25 minutes in. I like that. Vitolo for Correa, you know, that's like for like. Tomas for Tomas, basically. Again, Simeone does have a tendency to do this. He throws on another body in midfield just a little too early, and yeah, it every now and then it will come back to bite Atletico. It did again here. I thought a little bit about last year and games like this that Atletico played last year, and I think they would have gotten away with a result like this last year. If you recall the win over Depor with the Tomas free kick.
Yeah.
This was kind of similar to that. This is a game where Atletico were just horrible. This is a game that really had very few redeemable qualities in it, and Atletico would have pulled it out anyway. They would have done that last year, but not this year. La Liga is too crazy this year.
Yeah, and Atletico just have struggled so much in this early part of the season, especially just scoring goals, and it's been a real problem.
Yeah, like we mentioned from the off, 13 in 11 games, and per understat, they're actually overperforming their expected goals by about half a goal.
Which is very scary.
Yeah,
and I mean, all you have to do is look at their expected goals from this match to see why. I mean, the shots that they're getting in the box are extremely low percentage, and then they just take these kind of ridiculous long shots at times that basically do nothing.
Yeah.
Except for the occasion when you let Antoine Griezmann take them, and then they might go in. But
because he's really good.
Even that, not going to happen every time.
No, it's they're having relatively. Now I think it's actually pretty serious now, the attacking problems that they're having. It's very frustrating. It does not accurately sum up the talent that is in this team, and it doesn't seem like right now there's a really easy solution. I mean, okay, here's possibly one. Atletico, again, just struggling away from home. They have just one win away from home in La Liga this season. 4 draws. This was their 4th draw, of course. At home, Atletico have been a very, very different team than they have been away. They have 4 wins and a draw at the Wanda Metropolitano. Atletico's away form, again, is just a major concern.
Yep.
And they've
about it last week.
They've got 5 goals in 6 games away from home.
Yeah, and it's a real struggle. Thankfully, I guess, I don't know if it is thankfully, but their next away game is against Girona, but they have a few games in between then, including Barcelona. That should be a lot of fun.
at home.
So, but we remember away to Girona at the beginning of last season, first game of the season. That was a crazy match, so I don't think that'll be easy by any means.
Now the away table in La Liga is pretty crazy. I mean, Levante are atop the away table. They have the most points away from home, tied with Barca and Real Sociedad. Yeah, it's really weird. Atletico are 10th, despite Atletico playing pretty badly away from home in the league this season. They're only 10th in the away form table. Real Madrid are 17th for comparison. Still though, with the talent at their disposal, it should be much higher than 10th. They have just one win away from home. That's, I can't get over that, how good this team was on the road through 2016-17, through 2015-16, through 2016-17, and through the first half of last year, how good this team was on the road, and how they're just not anymore. It's very strange. And they're never good at Butarque either. This is the third straight year Atletico have gone to Leganés and drawn, and they have not scored once from open play in those three games.
What I don't understand is why Leganés have now just become like the relegated Malaga team with Recio and Nasir and
took
Michael Santos. That team was awful. Why would you get these guys?
I mean, Recio was a nice player. I liked him at Malaga. And Nasir has potential, mostly because
he was all right. Played in the World Cup, did he?
Yeah, for Morocco. And he's got size. He's got height. He's got some ability. But yeah, they did take like half that Malaga team, didn't they?
Which just seems a bit weird.
Yeah, and well, maybe that's why they're 18th in the table. Maybe there's some corresponding reason.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, not the best game. I mean, really the main thing for me is just it has to be the goals. The goals have just dried up in a major way, and they have to find a way to get it back, whether that's changing the shape, whether that's figuring out better pairings that work. I mean, we don't know. We've seen a lot of different looks this year, but we haven't found one that really works yet.
Saul said something very interesting after the match drop. I don't know if you saw his post-match comments, but he said, quote, "We need to be more ambitious," unquote.
Yeah, ooh. I agree with you.
A little bit of shade, just a little bit thrown Simeone's way. But I think he's right too. I mean, this is a team with a lot of talent at its disposal, and yeah, they're second in the table right now. Just you know, but they're now instead of 2 points off top, they're 4 points off top because Rayo decided to choke on Saturday night. Still, Atletico are second in the table. They've only lost once, but the thing is, they could be performing so much better. And I think Saul's right.
Well, and Diego Simeone has always used it in his press conferences as kind of the trope thing, you know, Real Madrid and Barcelona are so much bigger and better than us, we have no chance, we have to do this. But at this point, because Atletico have had so much success, they now have more money than they've had in any time in the recent past, so they need to be less cautious, especially against teams to the mid to lower half of the table. They can beat these teams comfortably, but they go out too cautious. And watching first halves of Atletico games these days is absolute soul-crushing. And none of them are ever any good, it feels like to me.
Yeah, it was kind of the same deal last year, too.
Yeah, for sure. And the same as last year, we don't know what the best team is. We don't know what the best players are. We don't know what the best shape is.
Yeah,
we're just kind of each week firefighting, trying to figure out something that might get us some goals.
Well, we know it's like 95% of the time going to be a 4-4-2.
Yes.
But Simeone, he's searching for answers still.
Yeah.
I read something in a market column, I think, like 10 days ago or so, and I think it rings pretty true. With a squad this big, Simeone runs the risk of not having a team anymore, you know? Because this is an Atleti squad that is more varied and deeper than any he's ever had, but there have been guys who have gotten no playing time. They've been really in and out of the lineup, not being trusted, and mostly it's the new guys, of course. Simeone is still searching for answers. I mean, we're into November now, and it's getting to the point of the season where, okay, we need to figure out, yeah, Atletico need to figure out their identity. They need to figure out not what they can really achieve this year, but they need to figure out who they are, and they need to, you know, bang in a few goals at least.
Yeah, I mean, I almost wonder sometimes whether Diego Simeone would rather it be sort of like 5 years ago when every match he'd be like, all right, it's 70 minutes, bringing on Adrian Lopez, I'm going to bring on Christian Rodriguez.
Yes.
Nowhere near as good as the players we have now, but I trust these guys. They're coming on.
Jose Sosa. Shout out Jose Sosa.
Yeah, exactly.
Loved Jose Sosa.
Guys that Simeone loved, whether or not they were that good, but he just wanted to bring them on. It's interesting. And Atleti's changed a lot in recent years, and I don't know if the team has really adapted enough to some of the newer players they brought in.
Yeah, the team has changed. Simeone hasn't changed that much, though. He has changed a bit, but this leopard's not going to change his spots. This is his seventh year in the dugout. This leopard is not going to change his spots. And look, it's not necessarily a bad thing entirely, because Atletico won two trophies this year.
Right. It's certainly frustrating at times, but I think when you consider the amount that Diego Simeone has improved Atletico, I don't think that it is ridiculous. People that tried to talk about him losing his job is just silly. It's not going to happen. He's the guy. Just that's the end of it. So he has to figure it out.
Yeah, this has become a interesting phenomenon, particularly on the Into the Calderon Twitter account, where just about every game we have, you know, a few people come in and say Simeone should be sacked. Simeone's ruining the team. He's been screwing them up for years. When, you know, just 3 months ago, we were talking about Atletico winning their second trophy of the calendar year.
Right.
Like, I do push back on this idea that Atletico are now stagnant, and that everyone, that nothing is wrong. This idea that no one thinks anything is wrong. Atletico won two trophies this year. You know who else won two trophies this year? Juve and Man City. And I don't think anyone's calling them stagnant.
Well, I think if Atletico were stagnant, they'd be finishing 8th or 9th every season.
Right.
That would be stagnant.
They would be like Arsenal. No offense.
Yeah, no, not taken. No, it's understandable. And I think it's actually to kind of speak from that perspective, having been in the sort of hellhole that was the Arsene Wenger fight. It's like these conversations about managers, people just get so stuck in their opinions about it. And I understand it can be frustrating at times, the way Diego Simeone manages, but you just have to at times take a step back and realize he may not be getting the best of his team, but this is his team at this point. All of these players he has brought in. So he gets along with the fans, the board, all the players. They all love him. So it's not changing. It's just not going to happen unless he leaves.
And no one
by himself.
And no one knows Atletico like him.
Correct.
No, this is not a situation where Cholo can't be criticized. Cholo is untouchable. Neither of those things is true. I think we have for the past, how long have we been going? 20 minutes now? Yeah, like we've been going for the past 20 minutes. Cholo does deserve some scrutiny. Some of his decisions do deserve criticism. That doesn't mean we hate him and, you know, want to see him sacked. There's a big leap in logic there. This is frustrating, and Atletico should be playing a lot better. But stuff like Atletico are stagnant and Simeone needs to go to save the club, like, no, hold on. You can't say that when Atletico have won two major trophies this year. I don't see the logic there.
I totally agree. I don't understand that right now. And I mean, there's a difference between sacking Kike Sanchez Flores when he's your manager and sacking Diego Simeone. And there's sort of tiers of managers, and Diego Simeone is the type that, even if it's getting a little sticky, you stand with him.
He's top tier.
Exactly, player. Absolutely, and no doubt about it. And if you need to get someone to replace him in midseason, you're crazy. That's not going to happen. And even if you want to replace him, who can you get?
Right. Look how successful Real Madrid's replacement for Lopetegui. Look how successful that search has gone. They put in Solari, and no one likes Solari as a coach. Very few people like him as a coach.
It's like, who do you want Atletico to go get? Pep? I mean, sure, he's the best manager in the world, but he's not coming to Atletico.
Yeah, that is very hashtag realistic.
I mean, really. I mean, you think of the list of managers better than Diego Simeone in world football right now. Not a long list.
No.
Not extremely long.
It's really not. So, in conclusion, that was a frustrating game. That was super annoying. That said, Atletico are still likely going to end match day 11, not only in the top four, but there's a good chance they end it in second place. Sevilla are playing Real Sociedad now, and so far so good for La Real. It's goalless, but I really think La Real can take something out of this game. I think there's a good chance Atletico are not only still in the top three, but they could also still be second at the end of the round. So
thank God for this crazy La Liga season.
Yeah.
It is really helping us out here.
That's also a reason not to freak out too much, is that Atletico are still right in this thing.
That's the thing. I was so annoyed yesterday, and I looked at Tim, I was like, still second, eh?
Right, yeah, like, they have <All right. laughs> they've blown a couple opportunities to get closer to Barca. Yes, Leganés on Saturday was one of them, but they're still in this thing. And they have a head-to-head against Barcelona right after the international break in 3 weeks.
Yeah, and I think that is crucial. I think that match will tell us for the rest of the season whether we have a title race or not.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of title races, there may be one in the Bundesliga. We may be getting a hint of a title race.
Yes, unfortunately, we have to play one of those teams.
Yes, Borussia Dortmund, you remember them.
Yes, those guys, yellow guys.
The team that 10 days ago beat the stuffing out of Atletico in Germany. They won on Saturday, as they usually do. They beat Wolfsburg by 1-0. Marco Reus got the winner. Dortmund are 4 points clear of Borussia Mönchengladbach and Bayern Munich at the top of the table, 5 points clear of Leipzig in fourth place. And on Tuesday, in the capital, Dortmund come into town, Rob. Time for revenge.
Yeah. I guess that's one way to put it, yeah. Let's hope it doesn't go like the last one.
Can't get worse than the last game, can it?
I hope not, yeah. Yeah, but I think it should be a better game. I hope Diego Simeone has a little bit more of a plan this time. At the very least, maybe he uses all the substitutes.
Yes, that would be
let's go for that as my goal for this match.
That would be a good place to start. As we mentioned, Atletico's home form has been pretty strong this season. 4 wins and a draw in La Liga. They have 1 win in the Champions League. That was over Club Bruges. They have looked more comfortable. They have looked much better at home this campaign. So you expect that to continue? I kind of would.
Yeah, I could see it being a score draw myself. Or Atletico. I think this game is really open for me. I can't really figure out which way it's going to go right now.
I would have Atletico as the favorites at home. Mm. But, yeah, I can see this being a draw.
Yeah. I would lean towards a score draw just because of how bad the last match was, and sort of take in consideration Diego Simeone probably be a little bit more cautious. So we'll see.
Yeah, no word on what the team will look like yet. It's only Sunday as we record this. But Godin, Costa, and Koke all missed out on the weekend, as we've discussed. Who knows if any of them will be back. Hopefully at least Koke is back. I think of those three, he's probably the most essential for this game. Like, not to say Godin and Costa aren't essential pieces. They are. But I think for this game, you need to have at least Koke back. That's what I would think.
Yeah, and I wonder if we'll see Kalinic up front. I think there's a possibility of that, given they didn't start on the weekend.
Yep, Juan Fran should be back into the squad too, as Arias started on Saturday. And yeah, other than that, not really a whole lot to go off of. I expect Simeone will make a couple changes, but I don't expect anything too radical.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Yeah, knowing Cholo and knowing how things are right now, I don't expect anything. Like, I don't expect Gelson and Correa to start up top, something like that.
Wow, that would be an ultimate combination. That would be exactly like Carrasco and Correa used to be.
Oh, man.
Remember those days? That was great.
Good times.
Oh, yeah. So many dribbles.
This too will be a difficult game. And, yeah, it's probably going to decide who tops the group, doesn't it? Won't it? Or we'll go a long way. If Atletico win, they'll be level on points with Dortmund, second in the group on goal difference. Both teams have a game left against the punching bags of the group in Monaco and Club Bruges. If Dortmund win, then yeah, they've gone and clinched the group. They need a point to clinch the group or to clinch top spot.
Yeah. So I think this will determine it. So we shall see. Atleti seem to be fine to get out of the group. So not a huge amount of worry. It'd be nice to finish in first place, but as we said before, it doesn't always mean you get an easier opponent.
At the very least, I want it to be interesting. And yeah. Dortmund winning would make this very uninteresting.
Correct.
So, yeah, Atletico winning would make this, the last two match days in this group, at least somewhat fascinating. Because both teams have to play those two punching bags at the
end. I'm sure that last match week against Club Brugge will be thrilling.
Away at Club Brugge, yes.
Yeah, I'm sure Atletico are going to take that one real seriously.
Well, got to get through this one first. You're going with a score draw.
Yeah, I'll go with a score draw for this one.
I'm going to go with a 1-0 Atletico win.
All right. Mr. And optimism.
Yeah, that is optimistic, the clean sheet especially. But yeah, I'm going... You know what? No, I'm going 2-1, actually. I'm going to go 2-1 Atletico.
All right, there you go.
I'm not entirely confident they're going to keep the clean sheet.
Yeah, I would be worried about that.
So just to cover my bases, I'm going to go with 2-1.
Good call.
Okay. All right, before we go, Rob, let's talk about this briefly. Atletico and Dortmund also have something else in common. They were both named in an explosive report.
No, yeah.
Football leaks coming to the rescue again. Der Spiegel in Germany with some really giant revelations this week. About the European Super League, those efforts are very much back on. Atletico and Dortmund are among the 16 teams that are going to make up this prospective Super League. They've both been invited in as quote unquote guests, not the 11 founders, I guess is what we're
calling them. The founders.
Yes, but Atletico have been invited to the Super League. Like thanks guys, appreciate it. And Dortmund have been invited as well. What did you make of the reports?
I'm fascinating. I mean, yeah. I love a bit of football leaks. I mean, I know that there's, you know, a bit of issues about privacy and whatnot, but to be honest, FIFA and UEFA are such corrupt organizations, I don't really have too much of my conscience about it. So I thought it was fascinating to see the big clubs that have all apparently signed on to this. I mean, it's like an evil genius meeting in a mountain somewhere in a hollowed-out volcano discussing the new European Super League. It's pretty crazy. I really don't know what to think about it. It just kind of makes me think it'll happen more. I don't know. They've just been so blatantly corrupt and favoritist for so long, it just seems inevitable.
Yeah, particularly Infantino's role in all this is really fascinating.
Yeah.
And just how much it appears like he has submitted to the wills of teams like Manchester City and PSG. That is one of those interesting things to me. But as far as the Super League goes, I personally do think it's going to happen. And the Champions League will become what the Europa League is, and it'll just absorb what the Europa League is now, and the Europa League will just disappear. It'll become like the Intertoto Cup.
There'll probably be some devastating effects of it somewhere on down the line. But I think what UEFA is looking at is how big the NBA is becoming in Europe and throughout the world, and they're thinking, well, the difference is that the NBA is just one league, whereas we have all these different leagues competing with each other. So they're trying to get all the money in one big pot, I reckon. So it's interesting. It's tough to think what to think about it, but both the teams are like bringing in the report, so I guess I'm on side.
I'm a fan of reporting like this. I really am. I know it's meddlesome. It gets in the way, but this is information that as a football fan or as a sports fan in general, I think people need to know. There is still pretty wide scale corruption going on in FIFA and in UEFA. Like, it didn't just end with Sepp Blatter stepping down and sanctions being handed out. No, it's still going. And
the other thing is that this isn't like something we've never even heard of before. It's like this has been kind of an open secret for a while that they've been planning to do this and that they wanted to do this Super League thing. So it's just interesting that now we're getting some of the official documents that they're really actually moving forward with it, which is fascinating.
Yeah. So remains to be seen what happens here. This is definitely a wait and see thing. There's going to be more to come for sure.
Yeah, I mean, we don't even know how it's going to work. Is it going to replace domestic leagues? Is it going to just replace continental leagues? Who knows?
I mean, Bayern explored leaving the Bundesliga, so I would assume that a few of these teams are going to try to leave their domestic leagues, which that'll be a whole separate battle.
Oof, that is going to be bloody. I mean, I don't know how that could possibly work. I mean, are these teams just never going to be relegated? Is that the idea? I mean, I don't know. In some ways, I worry it could take a bit of the soul away from the game. But
yeah,
we'll see.
Definitely. Well, on that happy note, let's wrap it up. Thank you for coming on, as ever.
A pleasure.
Follow Rob on Twitter at rwalk03. You know the drill. Follow me, your host, Jeremy Barron, on Twitter at jbbarron. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. Like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of the show on your favorite podcasting platform. That includes Apple Podcasts. And become a Colt Gennaro Chat amigo at patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. Rob, what are we calling it now? Our new feature?
Oh,
the Foreign Services Desk?
Yes, the Foreign Services Desk. Yes, correct.
Yes, Foreign Services Desk. We will be doing that later on this week. Very exciting.
Thrilling.
Yeah, we personally are excited because the rumor roundup is just like it's good for like twice a year, honestly.
Yeah. It's perhaps the most interesting, one of the most interesting parts of football, but it's not all the time.
So the Foreign Services Desk, that's coming your way with updates on Gabby, Carrasco, and all the rest. Stay tuned.
Coming in hot.
All right, y'all. We'll catch you later this week. Until then, adios.